turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we shall read the first 14 verses of Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, and this next part of this verse should be memorized by every believer, and never forgotten. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If we were to memorize that, grasp the truth of it, it would hinder us from that which the flesh is ever prone to do, rest in our own works, fall back under the law, or any such thing that would have human merit connected with it. Cursed is everyone who continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. The Galatians were in the act of making a choice to live under the law. Paul, in the first chapter, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him. That choice to live under the law would remove one from the person of Christ. When a person chooses to live on the plane of the law, he must of necessity accept the consequences if he falls. For he is living on a plane where he does it, not God. He removes himself from grace, and he wants to stand on his own. One of the sad parts about those who preach and teach that believers are under the law is that we set up standards. And you and I can have standards whereby we feel that we have kept the law. And usually it is some part of the law with which we're acquainted. All the while not realizing that our little ship that we think is moored tightly to the dock is adrift. Because the law is, as it were, a rope of 10 strands. And while we think that we have kept one or two of those strands, the Word of God teaches us in Galatians 3, accursed is everyone who continues not in all things. And the emphasis is on all things. For James, in these little epistles, he said, if a man keep all the law and offend in one part, he's guilty of all. To realize this is to flee to Christ, for grace, for only grace, can supply us with what we need, the grace of God that he's given us in Christ. Now, in the opening verses of chapter 3 that we really dealt with last week, we dwelt on the questions that are asked by Paul in these verses. And these questions are very profound questions, yet they're very direct, and they only have one answer. For the answer is in the question. And on the subject, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? If you and I can master that question with its answer, for the answer is very evident, it is the hearing of faith, it will deliver us from salvation by works. We receive the Spirit on the basis of the hearing of faith. Now you find this expression, the hearing of faith, twice in this passage. And we want to ask the question tonight, what do we mean? Or what does this passage mean when it talks about the hearing of faith? Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It is one thing to read verses. It is another thing to ask yourself questions about them. What do we mean by the hearing of faith? And the hearing of faith, beloved, has reference to that scheme of redemption that is outlined in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. And I want you to turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, for this is a very important section. There are many things that could be said about it. This is one of the sections of the Word of God that it would do well, we would do well if we were to study it forward and also backward. For here is a section in God's Word that moves from an effect to a cause. The hearing of faith is a cause. The effect we find in verse 13, and you get to the hearing of faith in verse 17. In verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, we have the great statement, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's verse 13. And then beginning in verse 14, we have a series of questions. Notice, the one question leads to the other. And they're all dealing with this subject of calling on the Lord. What leads a person to call upon the name of the Lord? The effect is in verse 13. The cause is all the way down in verse 17. But let us look at it forward first. You notice, in verse 14, how shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach a gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have the cause in verse 17, the effect in verse 13. Now when we go back through the chapter, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Verse 15, how shall they preach of him? No, how shall they preach except they be sent? Men and women who have been saved by divine grace have been called upon by the one who saved them to go forth into the world with a gospel. We are told in the end of Matthew's gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So disciples are sent forth. In other words, if I were to ask you a simple question tonight, it would be this. Can anybody be saved apart from the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is very simple. They can't. Another question. Can a person be saved if they never hear of the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the same God who has ordained the end has ordained the means to the end. And our texts here are very clear that the gospel must be preached, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And beloved, this makes it very important that the message is told. He's talking in these verses about the hearing of faith. Now let us move on. The end of verse 14, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You can't believe something you don't know anything about. Faith cometh by hearing, but if you don't hear, you see, and we're bound up, beloved, here in this text, in this portion of the Word of God, with our responsibility toward others. May I ask you a question? Don't answer me, though. Every Wednesday night, we read the names of our missionaries. Have you sent any of them a Christmas card? You plan to? Or are they so far away, we just talk about them on Wednesday night? What's their purpose of being where they are? That people might hear. How shall they hear except they be sent? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then we move up a notch into verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, these questions have become important. The hearing of faith. And when we come to this question, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But people just don't automatically call upon the name of the Lord. They call upon the name of the Lord in response to a message that is proclaimed unto them. How shall they call? How shall they believe? How shall they hear? How shall they preach? This, beloved, is what the apostle means by the hearing of faith. Beloved, all the activity of the flesh will never produce spiritual life. And that's the thrust of those opening verses in Galatians 3. All the activity of the flesh can never produce spiritual life, but the hearing of faith will. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that brings us to verse 6. And the example of Abraham. To be justified here, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, to be justified is to be accounted righteous. You have this in Romans chapter 6, or in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 15. That's the first book of the Bible. Genesis 15 verse 6. You have it over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, and you have it here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now, justification, friend, is a legal term. God declares the believing sinner righteous, even while he is still ungodly. That's what Romans 4 verse 5 says. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham believed God. This takes us back to Genesis 15, under the stars that night. God said to Abraham, can you number them? So numerous shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God. He believed God that what God said, he was able to do. And God reckoned it as righteousness. Now what did Abraham believe? And I want you to turn back to Romans 4 for a moment. And we just want to read a few things that Abraham believed in Romans chapter 4. In verse 17, we read that he believed God, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, he believed God in relation to both Sarah's womb and his own body. For Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. He believed God in relation to Isaac when he was called upon to offer Isaac on the altar. For our text here says he calleth things that be not as though they were. In other words, to call in this text means to name. Our names were mentioned that night under the stars. When God said, can you number the stars? So great shall thy seed be. For the last verse of Galatians chapter 3 tells us that if we're Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, your name and my name, we were not then. They were called under the stars. The seed of Abraham, and Abraham believed God. He calls things that are not as though they were. That's why in the 8th chapter of the Romans, in that great section where he talks about God's foreknowledge and his predestinating work, we, the whole company of the redeemed, are already seen as glorified in the presence of God. He calls things that are not as though they are, and Abraham believed God. But then in verse 18, he believed against hope. He believed against hope. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was so spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, there was no human ground for Abraham to have any hope. All his hopes were centered in Ishmael. But God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Abraham believed God. Now, how do you get hope? Faith produces hope. And nothing else will. Faith is rooted in the Word of God. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want more hope, you've got to have more faith. And if you want more faith, you've got to spend more time in the Word. It brings you back to Holy Scripture. And if you're the kind of a person who doesn't hope much and has very little faith, I can tell you something about you. You know very little of the Word of God. You're not in the book. If you want your life to be brimming over with hope, spend time in the Word of God, for there you get faith. For the foundation of faith is a revelation of God in Holy Scripture. And faith produces hope. Who against hope believed in hope? What a text. There was no foundation for it. But God had said it. That's the foundation. And Abraham believed, and it produced something in him. Hope. Now, beloved, if I happen to be a premillennialist, I guess you all know that. I believe in the coming of the Lord. I believe that God is going to set up an earthly kingdom and that Jesus Christ is going to reign in righteousness. Things certainly don't look good on the horizon today, does it? If we're headed in one direction, it is toward the beast of Revelation 13. It is toward world rule. That's the way the world seems to be moving. But beloved, you and I have hope. Why? Because God's word told us that a king shall reign in righteousness. And the promises that God has made concerning his kingdom. Who against hope? It doesn't look like it's possible in the world, Lord. But my God's in control. And beloved, it's the only hope for the world. It's the only hope. There isn't any other. So let's move on. We notice that he believed without staggering. He believed without staggering. Verse 20 says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now that word staggering is an interesting word. In the Greek it is the word darkrino, and it means to divide. The idea is a divided mind. James has something to tell us about the man who has a divided mind. He's unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if you find a double-minded person, you never know which way they're going to go. But you can rest assured in one thing, they're usually going to go the wrong way. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the idea is that one part says, I believe God. And another part says, well, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. Not Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You and I, who are children of God through faith in Christ, who have been justified by faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we have no reason to stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. And then finally he says in verse 21, he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. When you get to the end of Romans 8, Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Fully persuaded. What causes a person to be persuaded? Ever think about it? Persuades a person. Well, somebody has to do some talking. And somebody has to change a lot of people's minds. For instance, supposed to rain pretty heavy tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow's supposed to be a pretty nasty day. So said the weatherman tonight. Suppose everybody left this building tonight and we were going to meet tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. And everybody's going fishing. Everybody left persuaded we were going fishing tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. You see, somebody's going to have an idea, and they're going to have to convince everybody else that the best thing we could do tomorrow morning in a cold rain is go fishing. I should have said go deer hunting, because that's what fellas do at this time of the year, you see. Go deer hunting. But somebody would have to do a lot of persuading with a lot of people. Abraham was fully persuaded. What causes somebody to be persuaded when it comes to spiritual things? One thing only. A knowledge of the character of God. And beloved, there's only one place in the world where you can learn who God is and get a knowledge of his holy character and the fact that he cannot lie and the fact that he is always right and that he never changes, and it's in this blessed book. But beloved, it is not by a panic reading of Scripture. You cannot read the Bible in panic. You know what I mean. Something happens. Uh-oh. Ooh, I better read the scriptures. call the preacher. Say, what's a good passage to read in such and such a situation? That's panic reading of the scriptures. And you want to know something? I believe a lot of Christians follow that. Instead of a steady diet that gives them an understanding of the character of God, we wait till we're in a jam, and then we push the panic button. Abraham, he knew what it was to walk with God, to trust God, and he staggered not at the promises of God. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he's able to perform. What has God promised? Last year at Christmas time, I spoke to a group in Greensboro. I know of only four people in the group that were saved. My wife and myself and two others. And it's the other two that invited me to come and speak. And they wanted a message of Christmas. Christmas message. So I gave them one. I spoke on this text. And there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That was my text. And the basis of my message dwelt on one thing. The promises of God must be fulfilled. And how would they be fulfilled? For God's word says that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5. And how can a peasant girl from Bethlehem, I mean, from Nazareth, get to Bethlehem to have a baby. Over 100 miles away, over rugged terrain, without an air-conditioned car. How would you get there? You see, the scripture says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Caesar Augustus made a decree, I need more money. But in so doing, he was fulfilling the very word of God. You see, God keeps his promises. God has promised eternal life to those who believe on Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life, but he has promised eternal damnation to those who believe not and therefore do not obey the Son of God. What he has promised, he performs. There was an insurance man sitting next to me that night. He introduced me. And I tell you, he and his wife had been bending the elbow quite a bit all night. With the drinks that they put on the table. So I told a story of an insurance man I met. I was playing tennis one Saturday morning with an insurance man. He used to play professional ball in Kansas City. His name was Lloyd. He was a good tennis player. And I was telling him, I was preaching to him about Christ, trying to talk to him about the person of Christ. No wonder I lose. I don't concentrate enough on tennis, you would say. Well, that may be so, but I'd sooner preach. But anyway, I was talking to Lloyd and he turned to me and he said, it's impossible. It takes a person that's well educated to understand the Bible. That's a book that's hard to understand. Well, I said, I'd like to quote a scripture to you. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All one syllable words. By the way, I said, did you ever read an insurance policy? Oh, yes. He said, did you understand it? Oh, he said, I have to. It's my job. Oh, he said a lot in that word. When money is concerned with something, men will do anything almost. They'll forget about their soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? I said, do you mean to tell me you're going to stand before God in the judgment and admit that you could understand an insurance policy, but you couldn't understand the one syllable word of his word? I ask you tonight, is man responsible? Don't blame God. God can never be blamed. But God has placed the salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And realizing that the hearing of faith is so important, we persuade men. Let's be persuasive. Let's not be wishy-washy. Let's not stagger at the promises of God. Let's be faithful. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you're able to perform what you promised because you're God. This is the greatest challenge a man on the street ever meets. The fact that you keep your word. And oh, we ask you, our God, that thou wilt deliver us, if any of us are guilty, of panic reading of Scripture. Make us readers of thy word, digesters of thy word, meditators upon thy word, in order that we'll be men and women of faith, able to tell it and see the results for thy great name's sake. Hear us in these things, for Jesus' sake. Amen.